Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of 1 Samuel. If you're in a place where you can grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse had Shammah pass by. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel, good thing we didn't have all the names there, huh? And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all of the young men here?" Then he said, "There remains yet the youngest. And there he is, keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, red-haired, with bright eyes and good-looking. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." Where would you look for a good shepherd? The guy that's hanging out with the sheep, you know? Where would you look for a shepherd? I think it's great. You know, where would you look for that? The one that's hanging out with the sheep. And he's not the one that is the most likely by most accounts, but he's the one that God has chosen. We can spend our lifetime trying to please other people, or we can just look to please the Lord and realize that that is what's going to really put things together. Because our life is really found in him. That's where we find our totality of life, is in the person of Jesus Christ, in that relationship. And if we're looking to fill things in our life from anything other than that relationship with the Lord, we're going to end up wanton. And out of that wantonness, sometimes we're driven to try to please and to appease and to do all these other things. I'm not saying it's not nice, good to do nice things for other people and to do things that please other people. I'm not saying that. I'm talking, but that can't be the main goal of our life. It just doesn't, it won't work. It's that idea of right with God, we're going to be right with other people. That's how we're right with other people, is by being really having a healthy, right relationship with God. Then by natural situations, we're going to have that right view, because we're going to love people the way he intended for us to. "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." And then Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Now, you'll notice when Samuel was when Samuel anointed David, that this is the first of three times that David was anointed. You think, well, golly, how many times does a guy need to be anointed king? I guess three in this situation. It's interesting, though, when you go and you look at this and see the times and what was going on. In this situation, it was only his brothers, his immediate family, that was with him. It's interesting. The reason I'm saying this is because God chooses whom he chooses to anoint. That's God's business. Now, as he's anointed, David is God's selection for who is to be king. Right? We're in agreement with this. Saul was rejected. But who's, now let me ask though, this is God's choice, but who's on the throne right now? Saul's on the throne. We got ourselves a situation, don't we? We got a problem. We've got David's anointed king, Saul's on the throne. This is going to be a difficult matter now. What happens in this situation, and it's very interesting to me because it's similar to what's happening in our world today. Jesus is anointed as king. He's the Christ, which means the anointed one. Jesus is the Christ. Has he come into the fullness of his kingdom yet? No, not yet. He is king of this earth and world and the universe. He's commander of all the forces of the universe. He is that, yes. But has he fully been enthroned in his rightful place at this point? No, because we read in Revelation, who is worthy to take the title deed back to the earth? Who can take the scroll? And only one is able to stand up. I mean, John freaks out. He just thinks, oh my goodness, there's no one's going to be worthy. No one can take this title deed back. I mean, this is over. Now all of humanity is going to continue to perpetuate and live forever and ever in this constant state of death and destruction. And he's got brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, that are suffering. And this is the mentality of where John's at. This is just horrible. It's grievous. He just drops, you know, and just weeps. I don't know. Get up, man. Look. There's the one who's worthy as the Lamb gets up, Jesus, to pick up and take the title deed back because only one could purchase it and was purchased with his blood. That's the big picture. That's really what's going on. And so we're caught in this tension between these two. See, we're part of a different kingdom, and there's a different king, but on this earth right now, there's the prince, the power of the air. There's the ruler of this world. You remember Jesus called him that? Satan, the ruler of this world? It's interesting. When you think about these things, it's Satan is basically has usurped, you know, is taking this forcibly, is forcing himself upon people in that role, even though Jesus is the rightful place. This is what's wild when we give our lives to Jesus Christ. That's why we don't fit with the rest of the world anymore. And if you're starting to fit too much, take a fast or long if you need to. But man, make sure you do an assessment of where you're at with the Lord. Because if you're fitting in too much with this world, there's a problem. We're here, but we're not really a part of the world system. We're not supposed to be anymore. My hope is not in this place. It doesn't exist. We spend our lifetime trying to place our hope in stuff here. It's gonna burn, the Bible says, in a fervent heat, every last bit of it. And when we get to the other side, I'd rather have a big pile of something good than a big torch that just goes and burns it all up. Now, I'm gonna be saved just like you're gonna be saved, as through the fire. God is loving, God is gracious, God is merciful, and we're gonna get in there because we simply believed on Jesus Christ by faith for everlasting life. We're saved. It's awesome. I'm in full agreement. That's great. But is that all there is? No, because that's not what the Bible discusses. The Bible discusses that there's more. There's more, there's more. And what we're doing with our life here matters out into eternity. That's a radical concept. In our little splash called life, our 75 years, I'll give you 125 if you want. It doesn't matter to me. It's a dot in eternity, barely. Eternity's forever and ever and ever and ever, 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 ever. And then some. On into infinity, you know? Forever. And what we do with this little splash called your life and my life determines a lot about the rest of eternity for us. One, our destination. We're going to go on into eternity. Where we spend it is what matters on our decisions about who Jesus is. I know we're believers here. I get it. But the idea of this is that a lot of our interaction isn't just with Christians. We're talking with people that don't know the Lord oftentimes. And I look at this idea that he was anointed, and he's anointed in front of them, and so he knows. Wow, I don't even know how much he fully comprehended or if he comprehended all of it. It's still, did he step into the fullness of that role? No, this took time, didn't it? So the next time that we see it, so this is just with his immediate family this takes place. Then in 2 Samuel 2:4, he's anointed the second time. It's years later. And now it's not it's his family, but it's the whole tribe. It's the whole tribe of Judah, all his immediate tribe of people that he's from. He's a Benjamite, you know, he's from the tribe of Judah. So of the family of Benjamin, from the tribe of Judah. And so he is of this tribe now, and this next time that he's anointed, it is in front of the tribe. And it follows after he's had these series of battles and victories, doesn't it? That's when this second anointing comes. Now, all the anointing is done in front of more people, more, there's more understanding of, oh, that's who that is. Now he's not walking, he knows he was anointed with his family, that they were all there, they all saw it happen, he knows that. The point is that it's a process that takes time as God reveals who he is in and through an individual's life. It doesn't mean that they weren't anointed back there. It's just the acknowledgement and the reality of God working things in. God was doing something in David's life. At the same time as he was doing something with getting Saul out of the picture. There were things happening all the way around, weren't there, in this whole thing. Then the final time that we see Samuel anointed was in chapter 5 of 2 Samuel. I believe verses 1 through 5. And this is with all of Israel now is acknowledging him as king, as being anointed as king. Started off just his family, didn't it? Then it went to the tribe. Then it went to the greater populace of who he was and what God had called him to do. And over time, God eventually exposed all of this. And this was subsequently after he had shown, remember, all that mercy and great goodness toward Mephibosheth? Now, I wouldn't suggest you say that real fast. I don't. But Mephibosheth was, he had shown all this mercy toward one of Saul's sons and was gracious toward him and good toward him. And isn't that cool that at that point, now there's a further recognition of who he is. So it's not just force, was it, that was being recognized? Isn't that kind of cool? It's kind of neat how the Lord reveals that through his word. So in this circumstance, it's not that the first time didn't take. It was more of this recognition of what's going on. Why I'm saying this is sometimes we know that God, we're believers. We know we've given our lives to Jesus Christ. And we're talking with someone who doesn't know the Lord. Now, we've got information that can give them everlasting life. So that's awesome. If the first time you talk to them, they say, yeah, I want to pray the sinner's prayer. I want to give my life to Jesus. And this is great. Boom. Hey, home run. Way to go. That's awesome. But it doesn't always go like that. It sometimes is through time. They're watching your life. They're watching my life. They're seeing what you're all about, who you really are, what you're really trusting in. They're going to watch you when you're hiding out in the caves, when the ruler of this world is after you. They're watching to see how you're going to react and what you're going to do. It doesn't change the fact that you're a Christian, does it? It doesn't change the fact that you've got all the information on everlasting life. It doesn't change that fact, does it? That fact still remains, right? Don't give up praying on your family, praying on them. I'd pray on them. But don't give up praying for your family members. Don't stop until they breathe their last. Then you can let it go. But until then, don't stop praying for them. Don't stop being a witness to them. And when they tell you, yeah, I know what you're going to say. I know what you're going to say. Okay, I'm probably going to say it anyway. Don't let them push you into a corner and try and stomp out your God. God's bigger than all that. Keep being the anointed Christian that God's called you to be. As believers, we have an anointing upon our lives. The Holy Spirit has come upon us. He dwells within us. You do not, in the spirit realm, you do not look like everybody else. You've got a special marking on you in the spirit realm. You have a seal. You've been stamped out in the spirit realm. You don't look like the rest of the worldlings. You look different. There's a stamp, a mark on you, and it's seen in the spirit realm. This is a scriptural truth. It's marked out. You're seen. You're identifiable in the spirit realm. And what we need to remember is other people are watching, but they aren't in tune with that yet. They may not know really who you are or what you're all about. But then all of a sudden, when you actually get to the point where they get interested to Jesus Christ, man, I can't tell you the times that I've gotten phone calls and stuff from people and said, man, I met the Lord. I know what you've been talking about now. You're right. The Lord is good. And it's not about you and me being right. It's about Dad's right. God's right. Don't give up. That process is in motion. It takes time. It's okay. Just keep following the Lord. Keep being the Christian God's called you to be. You're set free to love him. Be a good, solid example as a believer. Verse 14, what happened to Saul? But the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. So God sent this. Well, the idea really isn't whether God sent it or not. God is clearly aware of it, and God's going to use it for his purpose. You know, all the spirit world is subject to God still. You remember when you read in Job, you know, Satan presented himself to God in Job and said, hey, I want to, you know, you know the story about how he's going to, you know, go after Job. He says, hey, man, the only reason he really follows you is because you've got this hedge of protection around him. Remove that and he'll definitely deny you, you know. God said, you can have Adam, but you can't take his life. You can have Adam, but you can't take his life. Man, that was like a nuclear bomb started going off around Job's life. Remember reading about all the things that started happening. I mean, you think you've ever had a bad time? That was horrible, nightmare. Everything went bad. Everything. Most of us have long since have given up. And all he says is, though he slay me, so be it. That's what God wants to do. That's God's choice, and that's God's best, what he has for me, and so be it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What else do you have? What else do I have? This distressing spirit has been sent to trouble him. And Saul's servant said to him, surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. This idea really stems from the concept and a truth biblically about there has to be a choice in order for free will to be legit. There has to be something that there has to be an option, in other words. And if there's no option, there's no choice, no choice, no free will. Now it's forced. God's forcing himself upon us. God's not going to force himself upon you. He's not going to force himself upon Saul. Saul chose to go out, and God allowed then this spirit to be oppressive and mess with him, because hey, he's choosing to go away from me. So this is what happens. He's subject now to the situation. It's horrible. But the free will, there has to be the option, or else it's not really of choice, or else there is. Think about it. It started in the garden, didn't it? You can eat of all of the trees of the garden except for that one. Of good and evil, you're not to eat of that one. You can eat of all. In other words, from the very beginning, there had to be a choice. In order for the relationship to be genuine, there had to be a choice. How could it be, way to go, you guys, great to hang out with you, and if you force them to hang out with you? Hey, it's so great to be with you when you forced someone to be with you. It's been great to hang out and all this stuff, and you know, if you got the doors all locked and they can't get out. It's really great to be with you and visit with you and spend time with you and everything. And this is what freaks do, right? This is what unstable people do. God doesn't function that way. He says, the door's right there. It's all unlocked. Come and go as you like. You know, you choose to not hang out with God, you should expect things to be the way they are sometimes when you choose that. You want to hang out with God? It's the choice. Has to be there, genuine, is real. Let your master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player of the harp, and it shall be that he will play it with his hand when the distressing spirit from God is upon you, and you shall be well. So this is kind of the anecdote. He says, hey, look it, we're going to be able to get somebody in here, play some soothing music, you know, a little Bach, a little Beethoven, kind of calm you down a little bit, and then we can move on, right? Some of us might have been different choice of music, but so Saul said to his servants, provide me now a man who can play well and bring him to me. Then one of the servants answered and said, look, I have seen the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite. Were they at the anointing party? No. So they don't really know all that you and I know from reading this. See, they're just saying, I've noticed this one dude. He seems to be kind of a good-spirited fella, and you know, I've seen the son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome person, and the Lord is with him. Seems to be a pretty cool head, you know? Guy we could run with, someone we could hang out with. Seems like a pretty good guy. Therefore, Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who is with the sheep. And Jesse took a donkey, loaded it with bread and skin of wine and a goat. You know, this is a kind of a thought that he's going to bless the king as you know, David goes to meet up with Saul. And he sent them by the son of David to Saul. So David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. You know, this is the thing. There was something engaging, wasn't there, about Saul? David was really just, you know, man, just he was happy to be in this spot to help out or do whatever. You know, he had this affinity for him. It's really, it's an interesting thing. Then Saul sent to Jesse saying, please let David stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight. And so it was. Whenever the Spirit of God was upon Saul, and this is the evil demonic thing that would come upon him, whenever that it would happen, that David would take up the harp and play it with his hand, then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. You wonder what all together was going on there with God in that, the depths of all that. You know, was God really still reaching out, trying to show Saul, hey, look, man, you know, he's playing really praises. He's really, you know, the presence of God is with him. He's got what you really want. It's really that's really the comforting thing. But you're over here. You're making all these choices that are going the other way. You wonder what all is happening in the mix of this. We don't know for sure. That's conjecture, truly. But it's something to think through and kind of entertain a little bit. But man, the power isn't this stated clearly of worship, of praise, of adoration, the power of that to alleviate. You know, isn't it interesting the things that we find when we read today that, you know, some of the psychologists and scientists and these different people, all the people that study people, I guess, come up with all this information about, yeah, you know, people of faith, you know, people that pray, people that really have a kind of seemingly this connection to God, they just seem to, their quality of life is better. They get through health issues differently. It's not that we don't have them, but they get through them differently. And even in their, even if they're dying, they pass differently. You know, they just totally, they're making all these observations. It's because, man, being in the presence of God is totally different than being without God. And this idea of him coming and just, you know, bringing this soothing, worshipful type music into the scenario is really important. Good thing for us to note and to remember. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. You know, I know as we listen to the Word, oftentimes the Spirit begins to convict us. And you know, Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father but through him. You know, it is very exclusive, Christianity is, and I know that offends some. But it's also all-inclusive in that anyone who would give their life to Jesus can have everlasting life, but it is exclusive in the sense that Jesus said he is the way, the only way to have everlasting life. If the Lord's tugging on your heart just now, would you open the door and let him in? Just pray this simple prayer of faith along with me now while you're driving or wherever you are. Whatever you're doing, sitting in front of a computer, wherever you are, whether it's through the internet or through the airwaves, I just encourage you right now to open your heart to Jesus and begin that new life. Just pray this simple prayer with me. Jesus, I want to ask you to come into my heart, to forgive me of my sin, to be my personal Lord and Savior. I thank you for forgiving me. I thank you for the newness of life that I have in you, and I ask that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit, that my life might be pleasing to you and give you glory. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you may be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. And if you're social media savvy, you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/CalvaryChapelKC. Also, Living Fountains podcasts are available in the iTunes store now, and you can download them at no cost. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, we meet in Overland Park on Sunday mornings. The service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com, or you can simply contact the church office at 913-681-1635. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.